You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
It may very well seem cruel and kindless to tell you to take heart while you are in your grief. You may not want to. But even if you do, you may have doubts about being able to take heart. It may seem like an impossible task right now, and the encouragement to take heart may come across to you as a cold and pious command. It's because you've lost someone special, someone whose life and presence had a way of flavoring almost everything for you. You might feel somewhat like a recent widow, whose meaning neighbor tried to encourage her by saying, "You'll need lots of courage now that he's gone." To this she sharply replied, "I don't want courage. I want my husband." Perhaps you are at that point in your grief where it is hard to put your heart into anything. Possibly you're busy doing things, but you feel your heart is not in it because you don't have a heart to put into anything. And that's the way you want it to be for the moment. What you really want is that person who made your heart throb, whose closeness and kindness warmed your heart so that you could not help but get excited about the things you did together or even separately. Although you can remember times in your life that your heart ached, it was never anything like this. You recall the times you cried and laughed, but the person who made you laugh or cry is not here. And even if it was more crying than laughing, you might feel like a widow who said, "He caused me so much trouble, but I miss him just the same." Whether or not all of the things of your life together were rosy or not is not the point for you right now. The thought that returns again and again is that life together was your first choice. To take heart in your grief means settling for second best. That means getting started again. And to do that would seem to require so much oomph and energy that you are just not sure you want to, or whether you have what it takes, because this death has taken so much from you. Even if you're ready to get going again, you might doubt if you can. You knew it was going to be different, but you didn't know just how different it was going to be. You look around, wondering where you're going to get the help you need. A long time ago, the poet suggested an answer to that one in Psalm 121. "I will look up to the mountains," he said. "Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will protect you as you come and go from now on and forever." It's the Lord who helps. He's there. He's helping you up, shouldering both you and your load. He's holding you, though your knees may be about to give way. He's holding you, though you may be struggling with the back-breaking burden of sorrow and grief that nearly has you down. Somehow this grief has not destroyed you, as it could have. Though it may have destroyed all of your dreams and plans and joys, you have not been destroyed by the grief. Because your helper and protector is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief himself. He's the man, Jesus Christ. Or as the prophet Isaiah says, "He has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. He's God's Son, raised from the dead himself. And he's been with you all the time, all the way. He's been with you even though you may not have been aware of it. In all of your weakness, there beside you is the everlasting God who neither grows weary nor faint, who gives vigor and strength to the exhausted. Those who look to the Lord will win new strength. They will grow wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will march on and never grow faint." Now take heart in your grief. God will wait for you. He's not going to rush you too much. He can wait as long as you need to wait, but he's holding you all the while. And will be ready to help you move on when you are ready to move on. He knows you need time to sit and cry There's nothing unhealthy about that. He also knows when you are ready to get up and try to pick up the pieces of a broken life. Jesus stands by you. He is alive and ready to help. He lives and grants you daily breath. He lives and you shall conquer death. He lives to silence all your fears. He lives to wipe away your tears. He lives to calm your troubled heart. He lives all blessings to impart. Jesus died to heal and to forgive your past. He came alive, and he helps you to come alive. He helps you to take heart in your grief, to face up and live through with hope the new things you now experience. And by now you ought to know very well that nothing could possibly be the same again. In this new life that you now live, Jesus Christ stands beside you to help you in a way that will support you as you explore new possibilities, get new perspectives, and enjoy new experiences. He stands by you to help, accept, and overcome your loss. You may never totally get over this grief, my friend, but you can live with it. Your faith in him will help you overcome your fear of falling apart and of breaking down. Your faith in him will help you embrace and accept this painful experience and live through it a day at a time. There will be many times when your heart will be fearful rather than cheerful. In those times, take heart in all of your grief. Jesus Christ, the one who knows both grief and victory, is by your side, ready to help you take heart and to give you good heart. In this world of ours, people are hit by grief, usually at some loss or other that makes them grieve. Sometimes the loss of a loved one or the loss of something that is very dear to them. I've seen people grieve because they had to move from one town to another and had to leave all of their friends and associations behind them. Though they may not always show it, parents often grieve when their children leave home for school or when they get married. That's a real loss to them. When a marriage goes wrong, people grieve. They really lost something, and it takes a long time to get over it. Grief has many forms. It is caused by life with its disappointments and sometimes its despair. Grief is hooked up to death for the sorrow it brings. Grief is natural. We grieve, said St. Paul, but not as those who have no hope. Some people seem to think that they ought not show their grief. They try to hide it because somewhere they got the idea that people who grieve prove they are not very good Christians. Our Lord didn't mind showing his grief at all when his good friend Lazarus had died. Even though he was a man, he was not ashamed of his tears. The loss is tough enough to take without making it worse by trying to dam up the tears. You should know that grief is normal. It is natural. It is sometimes necessary to be truly human, to take the loss. Breaking up with grief is a lot different from cracking up altogether. If you are grieving, don't feel guilty about it. It's natural to grieve. I should like to say to you, take heart in your grief. Feel your loss and have faith that God knows what he is doing. There's good reason to take heart in your grief. You are experiencing what you can expect to experience. You know you have lost a great deal. And maybe you haven't felt all of it even now. You have met people at the funeral home and talked to them, almost as if nothing had happened. You wonder whether something is wrong with you. You know your loved one is dead, but it's still hard to believe. You're almost in a state of shock. You wonder why you didn't feel what you thought you ought to be feeling. Maybe you said to somebody during those first difficult days, God has given me strength to bear what I have to bear. And you were probably right. The shock you felt and the strength you showed are God's natural way of helping people over the very first difficult days. And then it happens. There's such a big letdown. The funeral is over. The hectic hours you spent in making funeral arrangements are ended. You no longer have to spend those long hours at the hospital holding the hand of someone you love. People stop coming to see you. All of a sudden, a kind of emptiness overcomes you. A sort of boredom sets in. You begin to wonder about life. And then the grief comes. That's when you realize how dreadful it is, the loss you have sustained. That death was real. It really happened. You've lost so much, almost more than you can bear. After having held together for so long, you feel the urge to cry. And then you wonder if something's wrong with you. If that's the way you feel, go ahead and cry. Whether you are a man or a woman, crying is not just for the weak. Strong men cry, and strong women cry, too. Grieving is not unhealthy. Not unless you try to keep it in and nurse it along until it gets to be a regular part of your life. Crying does not mean that you are falling apart. Bottling up your feelings can do a lot more harm than good. You may have been telling yourself that this is no way to feel or to act. Actually, it's quite natural. Living as you are at the moment under a cloud cover of loss and sorrow. Above those clouds, the sun is still shining. The clouds will clear. The sun will come through. But right now, it may be raining, and that's all right. You don't feel like a jet flying at 35,000 feet in the dazzling sunlight. You feel more like the people down below at the airport, shivering in the cold, damp air. You feel depressed and even a little bit fearful, wondering how you're going to manage from now on. You're just a little bit afraid that you may not be able to find your way through all of this. Maybe you even have a little feeling of guilt. If it isn't guilt about grief, it may be about something else. I've known people who felt guilty because they were not at the hospital when their loved one died. Some feel guilty because they remember they could have done more when their loved one was alive. All of us can. Everyone experiences these regrets. It's the stuff of which life is made. Anyone who has no regrets hasn't lived at all. For the regrets, there is grace. The real and generous grace of a forgiving God. I can never forget that God's Son died for the sins of the world. And he died for me. He died for you. There was a lot of guilt there that day, and he took it all. This is practical and real. Maybe more practical and real to you now than it was before. Forgiveness is for the things that are past. When he forgives, he forgets. The guilt is real, but God is real too, and he really forgives. You don't have to look around for things to be guilty of. You're human, and you need forgiveness for the things you should have done and failed to do. For things you did that you wish you hadn't done. Some things you don't need to feel guilty about. If you had been at home instead of at work, it might not have happened. If you had been near when your loved one died, you might have been able to say something you had always wanted to say and didn't. If you feel guilty about things like that, you've got good company. Other people do too. Some of them even feel angry, first at themselves, and then even at the one who died. He or she is responsible for the misery being caused you. People even feel angry against the doctors and the nurses, and sometimes against God. Your loss is unfair. Why me and not others? You have to blame someone, yourself, someone else, God. I don't know exactly how you feel at the moment, and you may not know exactly yourself. That's grief, and it's necessary. You have had a loss, a real loss. In your grief, you're coming to realize that this is true. The more real it becomes to you, the nearer you are to accepting your loss, accepting the grace of God in your loss, and accepting the grace of life he has to give for the future. Perhaps you may have noticed that as time has gone on since your loved one died, you talk about him or her, adding a few more details as they occur to you. The more you recall about the one who is no longer with you, the more you remember the circumstances of that death, the more real it all becomes. Once it has become very real to you, you know it happened. That's the beginning of a new road. the acceptance of a fact of life, as well as the acceptance of God's grace for life that is yet to be. There's one more step. You have to get used to the idea that you will never really get over the feeling of loss you have. You will not again become the same old person that you once were. You can't make it stop raining by forgetting your umbrella. But you can take that umbrella and begin to stay dry. Neither you nor anyone else will ever replace the one you lost. By allowing yourself to grieve and accepting that grief as normal, natural, and necessary, even though it is painful, you will begin to live with that loss and to go out again into a world that for a while at least will seem sunless, cheerless, and maybe even heartless. Take heart in your grief. Grief is normal, and faith takes that, too. It does that when it is faith in God, who knows what he is doing. There is no substitute for faith in God. You may not know what he is doing, but he knows what he is doing. You may need a lot of courage at first to take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and to talk about your loss, about the way you feel. You don't have to talk about it all the time. But it's good to talk about it to someone whom you know and trust. It will be hard to talk about. And sometimes it will be hard to find someone to whom you can talk about it. As you talk about it, you will find yourself facing the fact a little better each time, and eventually coming to live with that fact in the faith that God knows what he is doing. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ had confidence in his Father that he knew what he was doing. Jesus said with complete confidence in his Father, "Father, into your hands I place my spirit." Jesus died. His Father did not forget him, and he won't forget you. He raised Jesus from the dead. Faith in Jesus Christ gives hope that is alive. But now you grieve. Jesus Christ took that too. He carried our griefs and our sorrows, he did. He understands how alone you feel and how alone people can be. He was alone, too, on that cross of his. He died there, and he lives. He is alive and well. He is Lord. Trust him. It's good to have him with you at this time, in your hour of grief. Now, more than ever, you can get what he was talking about. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. The living Son of God is with you. He feels for you, and he will stay with you. Take heart in your grief. Back, it was announced that one of America's most popular magazines was coming to an end. It was Life magazine. Through the years, Life had been coming into millions of homes regularly, capturing in pictures the panorama of life. But now, Life has stopped coming. For those who looked forward to it in the past, there may be a certain emptiness, a feeling that something is missing each month. What has happened to Life magazine might be a parable of what happens to people in their grief. For them, too, it seems as though life has folded. It is not only the end of life with a loved one, but it's also one's own life that seems to have folded and come to an end. Life has folded, but time continues. This makes for confusion, if not anxiety. It's hard, because you must continue to live. Even if your relationship with the one you have lost was less than you desired, and what relationship doesn't leave something to be desired, you still miss that familiar face and your familiar ways together. Whether that familiarity was always pleasant or not, it provided a kind of security. With that gone, it seems as though life has folded, and you wonder how you can continue. A kind of paralysis may have set in. If you have regrets for the past, if you feel guilty somewhat of having caused unhappiness for the one you loved and lost, if you feel you should have done more during that person's life, that's quite understandable. But there's no need to be your own worst enemy and to bring your own life to a standstill. One key person remains. He can move you along the way. He's the one who came to bring an abundant life. Jesus Christ, he is the one who picked up that paralyzed young man who had his own feelings of depression and guilt. It was to him that Jesus said, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now walk." Jesus Christ forgives you. He accepts you as you are. You need his acceptance to accept yourself as you are. He helps you take the present and gives you faith and courage to look to the future. That's what it takes. It takes Jesus Christ to forgive you the faults of your past and to give you new hope for the future. Time does not stand still. It keeps on moving. Jesus Christ is in every bit of it. Maybe there was a time when you just could not look to the future. Maybe that time is still with you. Jesus Christ died in the past, but he's alive in the present. In him, there is brand new forgiveness and brand new hope every day to help you in your grief. In him, life begins all over again, every day, for tomorrow. Help comes from Jesus Christ. Help from Jesus puts grief in a new perspective. Because of him, it's now unnecessary to grieve like those who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so it will be for those who died as Christians. God will bring them to life with Jesus. I didn't say that. It was one of God's great men who said that, the Apostle Paul. He wants you to know two things. Anyone who has a trusting faith in his Savior is eternally safe. Your eternal safety is insured through your trust in your Savior. That's what makes grief different and bearable. This hope makes pain more bearable, even now. The hopefulness that Jesus brings to his men and women today is no different from the message of hope he gave to his followers then, who saw him die. They were sad at the time, of course, just as you are sad today. Though the important reason for his dying was to bring victory in the battle over sin, it is also true that from that point on, and especially after Christ's ascension, his followers in that day carried on with courage and vigor in the work Christ had left them to do. I'm sure that you and your loved one believed and depended on each other. Now it's up to you to embrace the values that you shared together, even though you must do so now alone. Your capacity to rely on your own resources and your own strength, the ones God has given you, may surprise and startle you, even though you may find it hard to believe now that he can do this for you. Life does not have to fold for you. It can start moving again. Just as your loved one had faith in you, Jesus had faith in his disciples. Jesus has faith in you, too. He can give you the start you need. As time goes on, God's strength will empower you to do for yourself the things that seem impossible now. Even if life seems to have folded for you now, take heart in your grief. Take heart, because your grief is different from those who grieve without hope. You have the hope and strength that comes from God, able to handle the different kind of life from here on out, all the way to eternity and to everlasting life with God. With hope and trust in God, life will not fold for you. It will only unfold in ways you can hardly dream of.